You know, since summer is a time of fun and relaxation and some vacations, we've been spending some time in a sermon series called Packing Light. Now, Brad may have taken last week's sermon a little too literally when he talked about packing a suitcase, because he actually did that and went out of town. But that means that you and I have an opportunity to spend some time together. Now, if you're wondering, well, who is this person? If I haven't had a chance to meet you, first of all, I really want to. But second of all, my name is Anna Jackson, and I am the Discipleship and Development Coordinator here at the church. And the purpose of that role is to equip each of us for this trip we are on, growing in our relationship with Christ. We are trying to support to make sure that each one of us are able to kind of reflect and answer the questions. How do I know if I'm going in Christ? How do I know if I'm on the right track to where I need to go? And what resources are available to me to help me become everything that I'm supposed to be in Christ? You and I are fellow travelers on this spiritual journey that we are on. But you know what? Traveling, honestly, isn't always that easy. Now, when you think about traveling from our neck of the woods, there's some true pros and cons, especially when it comes to traveling via airlines. So, for example, if you're flying out of the Lubbock International Airport, Preston Smith Lubbock International Airport, you don't have to get there 3 hours early for your flight like you have to in some places. In fact, we can kind of slide in 15 minutes before the doors close, and we're probably going to be fine. I think that's a pretty good pro. But there are some cons, too. One of the cons that I think is probably one of the biggest cons is that there are almost no direct flights anywhere out of Lubbock, right? We have to go somewhere else to get anywhere else. I'm pretty sure that if the airlines were in charge of our route to heaven, we would all have to stop in Dallas on the way. Now, the good news is they're not, so I'm really grateful for that. I'm not a huge fan of the layovers. I'm not a huge fan of having to wait. I was flying from Lubbock to Austin one time, and I got snowed in Denver. How in the world do you get snowed in Denver going to Austin? You know, on our trip, and I see many of you out there coming back from Belize a few weeks ago, we were coming back from Belize, and we were so ready to get home, but we had a six-hour layover in Houston. So many of us sat in the floor and played a card game. Some of us went around and shopped as much as you can shop in an airport, just biding our time. You know, those layovers can seem eternal when we are really wanting to get to our final destination. But the layovers are also actually pretty important because it is when we are on those layovers that they refuel the plane. Now, I'm kind of a fan of my plane having fuel. Are you? You know, it's on those layovers when we make adjustments to our direction to make sure that we get on a flight that's actually going where we're going. It's during those layovers that we shift from this group of people that are all going different places to getting on board with people who are all going the same place that we're going. Those are all some pretty important things. If I am honest, sometimes I'm kind of the same about the spiritual layovers in my life. I'd like to get right to my destination. I would prefer to skip over the pain and get right to the promise. I would rather not have to deal with the suffering and the sacrifice and just focus right in there on that salvation. But spiritual layovers are actually pretty important too. Because again, it is here that we refuel and we make sure that we are filled with the things that we need to get us where we are going. It is here that we make sometimes some really drastic changes in the direction that we're going in our lives so that we can get to the final destination that we want. It is here that we connect with other people like we're doing right this minute, to make sure that we are traveling with people who are trying to get to the same destination that we are. You know, as we have been talking the last few weeks, Brad's been leading us through a series, and we've talked about being able to read the road signs so that we can measure the things that are important as we are on this journey together. We talked about the map and how the map just reminds us God is our destination. What He wants is where we're going. That is what we are all about. And we don't want to lose sight of that as we're traveling along. And then last week, He talked about the suitcase and the things that we bring with us that are important to the journey and the things that we got to leave behind. Now, I do have to defend myself on that note because Brad did kind of put Addie Pitts and I right on out there about the overpacking part. If you're in that club, would you please raise your hand so that we don't feel alone? Thank you. Thank you. That soothes my soul. So, this week, as we do the final part of this sermon series, our focus is going to be preparing for arrival. What are the things that you and I are supposed to be doing right now to help us prepare for our arrival? And where are we trying to arrive? Well, yeah, heaven is the final destination, right? I really want to be there. But in the meantime, we are preparing to arrive at a place of spiritual maturity. Every one of us should be focused in on what are the things that I can do to be arriving at a higher level of spiritual maturity today than I was yesterday. We don't have to do it all in one giant step. It can be baby steps along the way, but that's what's going to be motivating us and moving us through. So this morning, we're going to be studying in 1 Peter chapter 4. And thanks to the guys who read that and got us set up this morning. Now, I want to remind you, and this is true every single week, you can go to the YouVersion app on your phone, and if you click More down in the bottom right-hand corner, and then you click Events, and then you choose First Shallow Water, you can see the sermon notes for today. You can take notes in there. So we invite you to use that resource. That's available every week. But you can also use the old school Bible. You know, I got mine right here. It's pretty faithful. And so however you're going to get there, I encourage you to turn there now. Now, while you're getting to 1 Peter chapter 4, let's create a little bit of context about who's writing this book and who he's writing to. So the author of this book is going to come as a huge shock to you. But do you know who the author of 1 Peter is? What? Peter. So y'all, I'm a teacher by nature, and so sometimes I'd like that interactive piece, but it's really no shock that Peter was probably the author of this book. Now, Peter's one of my favorite guys. I really, really, and not that's not always a good thing, but I relate to Peter. Peter was this impulsive, passionate guy who could run a little hot and cold. So the first time that we see Peter, he's sitting on the shore, you know, he's been fishing. Jesus comes up and says, hey, you want to come follow me? And in impulsive obedience, he throws down his net and he's off. He didn't have to say, well, let me check with my wife, which we think he had one because he had a mother-in-law. So he didn't go consult her first. He immediately changed his direction to follow Jesus. You know, we see there when he's in the boat and he asks Jesus, hey, Jesus, can I walk on water? And he's so passionate and excited about doing it. But then as soon as he gets on the water, he looks down at the waves and he begins to sink. So, hi, I have all the faith in the world. Whoop, nope, I don't. We see Peter when Jesus said, you know, Peter, you're going to betray me 3 times before the rooster crows. And he's like, dude, I would never, wait, okay, he probably didn't say dude, but he said, I would never do that. I would never betray you. And then we see that he did. We see him passionate in the garden when they're coming to arrest Jesus. And he's a staunch defender of Christ. And he slashes off the ear of the guard as he's trying to arrest him. We see, especially in the early days of Peter, that, man, he is hot and cold. And I relate to that. There are times I'm super zealous and Jesus, I have all the faith in the world. And there's times that I sink into waves. There's times I'm like, Jesus, I would never fail you until I do. There's times I'm like, Jesus, I have faith to walk on the water. And then the next sound I hear is glub, glub, glub. But that's not the final picture we see of Peter. We see Peter become the rock. We see Peter become the person that Jesus uses in a powerful way to build the church. The Peter that we see prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is not the same Peter that we see after. Not that he didn't still make mistakes, but one thing we see in Peter is that he spiritually matured. He prepared for arrival. He was a great guy to give advice to other people because he worked the work. The people that help us become mature are people who know a little bit about becoming mature, and Peter had that. Peter was writing to Jewish Christians who became Christians believing that they were going to get that promise of heaven, and that's not exactly what they discovered right off the bat. They were experiencing persecution. They were experiencing beatings. They were experiencing death. And that's not what they signed up for. And they were losing heart. So Peter was writing to these people who were expecting heaven and experiencing persecution. He was writing to encourage the believers of that day to be strong. Peter knew what it was like to be beaten. He knew what it was like to be imprisoned. He had been. But he knew it was worth every single moment of the struggle. And he wanted to encourage the believers of his day and the believers of our day to know, whatever you're dealing with right now, the struggle's worth it. The pain is worth it. The hardship you're overcoming, it's gonna be worth it. Don't lose hope. Don't lose sight of that. And so he was helping them prepare for arrival at spiritual maturity. So let's hop in and see some of the things he said. So looking in 1 Peter chapter 4, reading verses 1 and 2, it says, and I'm reading from the NIV, you're welcome to use whatever version. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. We see in these verses that Peter wasn't the only one who knew about spiritual layovers. Jesus himself knew about spiritual layovers. He came from heaven and he got stuck on earth for a time period before he could return back to his home. And while he was here, it wasn't all happy, happy, feel good. He suffered. He suffered physically like you do. He suffered emotionally like you do. He suffered mentally like I do. He suffered spiritually like we all do. He knows what our pain is like because he went through the same pain too. And Peter's saying here that we're supposed to have an attitude like that. Jesus' purpose for his suffering was to end sin once and for all. To end our debt, our imprisonment in sin. And as we're preparing for arrival, we are supposed to be putting an end once and for all to the sin that binds us and grabs hold of our heart, soul, and mind and keeps us from focusing on the one thing that is truly our focus in our future. Jesus' layover involved peace being exchanged for pain. He gave up comfort to create salvation. And he calls us to have that same kind of attitude where we finally get to the point that we say, I'm done. I'm done. I am done with this thing that I thought I had control over that actually is controlling me. I'm done with this thing that I keep walking away from and then coming back to revisit. I'm done with a thing that Jesus nailed to the cross for me. I'm not going to be bound to that any longer. But Peter also knew that we don't just wake up and say that and magically that's what happens. That suitcase doesn't accidentally pack itself. Our attitude of ending sin once and for all doesn't just happen to us. It requires extreme intentionality. Peter says, arm yourselves. That phrase reminds us this is a battle. We are in a spiritual battle here. And we can't just go kind of unexpecting, you know, what's going to lie ahead and it'll all take care of itself. We've got to arm ourselves. So that takes us to kind of one of our first points when we think about how we prepare to arrive at spiritual maturity. Just like the plane has to refuel during spiritual layovers, we have to be refueling ourselves for spiritual layovers. We've got to be willing to set aside some of the things that, if we're honest, we like the things that we're doing. And we have to suffer and give that up because it's not going to help us get to where we're going. We have to be willing to put ourselves into scripture and into prayer and into times of being silent, to be able to reflect and refill ourselves with what it takes to be successful on this journey that we are on. Peter said that the one who suffered, and in this place he's referring to Jesus, is done with sin. Anybody out there suffering right now? Is it because of a sin that's holding you captive? We got to be done with that sin once and for all. You know, if I spend all day Saturday, and I'm not saying I do, but if I did spend all day Saturday cleaning my house, one of the things I notice is that for the next few days, I'm a little bit better about keeping it clean. When I go and I work on getting my car clean, I do a better job of getting all my cups out of the car at the end of the day instead of letting them collect in the back. If I work out and I make myself kind of sore, I find that I eat a little bit better because I don't want to undo the work that I've just done. When we put an end to sin, we should be in a spot where like, I'm not doing that again. I want to maintain this thing that I am seeing God do in my life. I want to take care of it. Jesus died for my sin. He suffered for my sin. Why would I want to continue to do the things that caused that? Why would I want to continue to do the things that are wrecking my life? Part of arriving spiritually at spiritual maturity is setting aside to those things and moving forward. The purpose of our suffering that we go through when we're letting go of some of that sin is to make us more like Jesus and less like our former selves. We want to refuel our minds and our hearts with the things that are going to equip us for this earthly layover that we find ourselves in. And we want to move towards spiritual maturity. So let's go on and let's look in verses 3 through 6. For you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They, referring to non-believers, are surprised that you do not join in with them with their reckless, wild living. And they heap abuse on you for that. But they will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God and the Spirit. So the next thing we see here is that part of arriving at spiritual maturity is setting aside our past and adjusting our direction. You know, when we all get on that plane at Lubbock Airport, we are a bunch of people that are trying to get to a bunch of different places. But when we get to the spiritual layover, that's when we begin to redirect. If you're going to Vegas, you get on this plane. If you're going to Disney World, you get on that plane. If you get on the wrong one, it's going to be a little bit surprising, right? The same is true in our spiritual lives. We are all on the first leg of this journey together. We all start off from a place of sin. We all start off from a place of unbelief and really a lack of God's presence in our life to a great extent. But once we decide that we're going to become believers, that's where we change our direction. And we have to move in a direction that is leading to our final destination. So if you think about the direction you're moving right now, is it leading you to the right final destination? Or did you get on the wrong plane? We've got to make sure that we adapt our direction to get us where we're going. There comes a point in our lives where we head somewhere different than the people that we've been traveling with. Peter says in the scripture, he says that we've spent enough time living like we used to. When I read that, I thought about the times that, you know, you get in the car, you got your kids in the back seat, and it's all happy. We're so excited to be going on this road trip, and the kids start to kind of fuss a little bit, but we ignore it in the beginning because we just want everybody to have fun. But there comes a time that you turn around or you give that look in the rearview mirror and you say, enough, enough. You've had enough with your horseplay and your shenanigans. Stop. It's kind of what Peter's saying here. We've got to get to a place in our lives when we say, enough. You had your fun. You did your stuff. Now it's time to act like you were going in a different direction. As we continue to create this attitude that Christ had about ending sin once and for all, we got to set aside our old ways. Now, y'all, this comes with a price tag, because the world doesn't always get that. In youth, the world doesn't always get it when you start to act in a different way, when you start to do something different. But y'all, I can't leave that with the youth. Any of us, when we start to do things that our friends do, or we stop doing things that our friends have been doing with us, that doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense to the world, the people who are not committed to the same destination we are, when we're wrecking our lives and we're wrecking our families and we're wrecking our health and we're wrecking our finances. That makes sense to them. What they don't get is when we start doing something different. And when they don't get it, things change in those relationships. Now, they may not actively persecute us the way that the church was being actively persecuted here. But we may hear whispers when we don't do some of the things that they're doing any longer. We may see the Facebook post that we know is pointed at us. We may feel the loneliness when we're just not getting invited to this stuff anymore. And that hurts. It hurts to lose people that we have been traveling with. But y'all, that's the first leg of the journey. That's when we're all traveling from a place of sin. When we shift destinations, we shift traveling partners too. And again, that's not always easy. We have got to get to a place where we make adjustments to our living that are aligned to our destination. And in that practice, we may lose some people from the world. And y'all, when I say the world, that sounds like a different group of people, but that may be family members. That may be friends. There are people in other countries that really suffer this when they become Christians. And they suffer consequences we can only imagine. But it hurts us too, because we have to walk away from some people. We've got to be intentional. God's opinion of us has to outweigh the opinions of the people that are going in a different direction. Now, Peter gives some insight to help us as we do that, because that's not easy. Let's don't pretend that that's easy. It's hard to shift and to move in a whole new direction. But he gave some ideas about some things that we should do to help do that. So let's look at verse number 7. 7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you can pray." So Peter reminds us that every day we are one step closer to the end and one step further from the beginning. The sand is ticking away, right? So we should be really urgent about being ready for that time period when that comes. You know, when we get on the plane to go on our trips, one of the first things that the flight crew does is be sure you set your phones in flight mode. Now, whether you think that's really necessary or not is not the point here, but there actually is a spiritual lesson that's pretty important. And that lesson is that there are so many things in our world right now that are keeping us from being clear-minded. Social media is killing some of us. It's killing me. I got to be honest. It is the thing that we didn't even realize we opened it. And then 2 hours later, we sat and we watched all these reels and time just got sucked right away from us. Busyness is killing us. And we're so busy, our calendar's so full, our schedule's so busy that we don't have time to do some of the things that are going to help us do that first thing, which is refueling. Because we're so busy running the kids here, running the kids there, running the kids there. We're taking care of all of those other things and we're neglecting the thing that matters. Things that we do, maybe some really great things that are keeping us going, but God didn't even ask us to do that thing. He wanted somebody else to do that. But you, me, I'm really bad about that. Just have to hop in and try to fix everything. That's keeping us from being clear-minded. Here's a big one. Living up to everybody else's expectations all the time, that's keeping us from being clear-minded. We could go on and on and on about the things that keep us from being clear-minded. But verse 7 says we have to be very intentional about being clear-minded so that we can pray. We have to clear space to be able to pray. It's really hard to have two conversations at the same time. We've got to put things on airplane mode so that we can talk to the one who has the solutions. We've got to stop turning from Facebook, or start turning from Facebook to the good book. We've got to stop texting and start talking to the one who can help us grow. I think about when we're on the airplane, they start giving the safety instructions, and they begin to tell us all the things that we need to do, and we hear blah, 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 and we're busy sending off that last Facebook post, that last text before we take off, because we already know what they're talking about. We've already heard this 1,000 times. But if push came to shove, are we ready for the emergency? Y'all don't want me sitting by the exit door. I'm just saying. Because I think I know what they're saying, so I stop listening. Sometimes that happens in our spiritual lives too. We think we know what God's saying. We think we know what God would say in the situation, so we stop listening. It's blah, blah, blah. Our prayers become, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for my family. It's the same thing over and over and over. Clear our minds. Put it on airplane mode so that we can really focus on the things that we are wanting to do. And then he says in verses 8 and 9, above all, love each other. Love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Another step that we take towards spiritual maturity is recognizing we can't travel alone. Now, remember back part where we said we were going to change directions and we might lose some people along the way? We have to replace those people with new people who are going to help us get to the final destination. And as we do that, we have to love one another deeply. There are grow groups in our church. We're fixing to add 3 new grow groups. We're adding a grow group for college and career. We're adding a grow group for young adults and newlyweds who maybe have no children yet or have children that are 0 through preschool. We're adding a group that's for those who have school-age kids, those who just need a place to be. We should be walking through life with people who are kind of in the same phase of life as us, so that we can continue to grow. Now, some of you have stopped going to grow groups because you've been hurt. A person in a church let you down, so you're just going to come to this part and leave. But y'all, we can't grow without one another. Our grow groups help us have accountability. They help us have protection. They help us have provision. They help us move forward in our lives. So we have to be a church that makes it safe for people to come back to church. We have to be committed to that. We have to love one another. And Peter says, you got to love one another deeply. We know that Jesus loved people deeply. And we want to be like that with that attitude. You know, the other day I went to one of my favorite restaurants, and they have the best queso in town. But the other thing that the salad I usually get with my queso, because that's what you do. You know, if you eat salad, it X's out that queso. They didn't have the salad. And I was a little grumbly about it. But you know what? I'm not going to go stop going to that restaurant to get that queso because they didn't have my salad one day. But sometimes we stop going to church because there's that one time that somebody did that one thing. We wouldn't give up our good queso. Don't give up coming to fellowship because one person, 2 people, maybe more people, let you down. Humans are going to let you down. God's not going to let you down. And can we please be a church that doesn't do that? Can we do a better job than Christians sometimes do and not be so judgmental and divisive? Can we be a place where it's okay to come and say, I'm not all right. I do not have it together. My life is falling apart. And that be safe. We've got to love one another deeply and not travel alone. The next thing that Peter says in verse 9, it says, we have to offer hospitality without grumbling. Now, hospitality, we tend to think that, oh, I can't have hospitality unless I've got a really nice house. And my house has to be really clean. And I have to have this really good food. And my kids need to be behaving. All those reasons that keep us from ministering to people. That's not what Peter's talking about here. He's talking about biblical hospitality. It says, you got a need? I'm going to meet your need. You need to talk? Let's go talk. You need a place to fall apart with me. That's the church that we're supposed to be. Being a church like that means we have to be individuals like that. Preparing for spiritual maturity means that we show hospitality to people who look like us, don't look like us, think like us, don't think like us. You got a need, my job is to help meet that need. That is important as we are moving forward. As we look on in verses 10 and 11, he says, every gift, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various form. If you speak, you should speak the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with strength. God provides so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever. Amen. Whether you feel like it or not, God has given you some gifts. And you're supposed to be using those gifts. That's why we believe part of being a growing spiritually is serving. We want each person, every single one of you, to be in a grow group because we can't travel alone. We want every single one of you to be on a serve team because God gave you gifts and you need to be using them to bring other travelers along with us to land at that same destination. When we were in Belize, every day we would pray around our vans. We would hop on them. We would move to the work site. And when we were at the work site, we would meet a fellow named Chipito, and he would have a van that was loaded with the tools for the day and loaded with the materials of the day. If we hopped out on the work site and we started just trying to do things without unpacking the van, we wouldn't have gotten very far. God has given you gifts. Part of growing spiritually is unpacking your van and using those gifts to accomplish the task that he's put before you. If you want to find a place to serve, go on the website. We've got tons of teams, and one of them matches your spiritual gifts, and we want to encourage you to be a part of those. So the primary reason that we are preparing to arrive at spiritual maturity, the reason we put it on airplane mode and clear our minds, the reason we pray, the reason we get together and we don't travel alone, the reason that we serve with the gifts that we have, the reason we show hospitality is not just for our benefit, although I promise you we will benefit greatly, but it's to bring praise and glory to God, the one who died for your sins, the one who died for my sins. We put a final closing on those things that have been binding us up, because that brings glory and honor to the one who died for us. So I have a few questions for you. Do you feel like you're stuck in a spiritual layover? Are you wanting something to change? Is anything going to change if something doesn't change? Are there some things that you need to do to refuel your soul? That thing that you've got, have you really put an end to that sin? Or do you keep going back to revisiting it? You thought you had it under control. And that's fine and good until you realize it's controlling you. Have you finally said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm just done to that sin that's binding you up? That kind of leads to the next question. Are you traveling with people who are bringing you closer to God? Are you traveling with people that are taking you further away? You can't have it both ways. Is it time to adjust your direction? Is it time to travel with new people? Are you loving well? Y'all, are we being the church that this is a safe place to fall apart? Are we judgmental and divisive? Can anybody really walk in this door and us treat them the way they deserve to be treated? Or is that just, we like to think that would be the way it is, but is that the reality? Are we offering hospitality? Are we seeing a need and meeting a need? Is there something that we could do better there? Are you using those gifts that God's given you? And you're thinking, well, I would, but I don't know what they are. Well, time to find out. I can help you with that. Lots of people can help you with that. The purpose of the journey that we're on is to help us prepare to arrive at a place of spiritual maturity. Last night, I was saying a prayer, and I'm going to invite the worship team to start moving forward, but I was praying about some things that are kind of heavy on my heart right now, and in my prayer, I said, God, whatever it takes, and then I was like, oh, wait, do I really mean that? Y'all, that's a really scary prayer, but it is the prayer that moves us to that place that we're trying to get with spiritual maturity. Are you at a place today that you're willing to say, okay, God, whatever it takes. If you need somebody to pray with, our prayer team is right outside this door over there, and they would love to pray for you. If you need to come fall apart at the altar, come fall apart. If you need to go stand by somebody in here that you just need them to hug you, if you know somebody in here that needs you to go hug them, let's do that during these moments of worship. We want to prepare for arrival, God, whatever it takes.